Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's very, very, very dangerous what's going on right now, more so than, it seems things are coming to a head. We've been focused on Iran, a real threat to our survival, as we all know, with the Hitler of our times repeating the words of Hitler. And you'll notice that the Hitler of our times has suddenly disappeared from the media after he came here and attacked America, attacked the president, attacked virtually everything that we stand for. The Hitler of our time, Ahmadinejad, has gone back to his hole in Tehran, and he's hiding. And yet we see Pakistan coming apart. Now we have to ask ourselves, is the Hitler of our time behind the dissension and turmoil in Pakistan? Remember, they're all interlinked. The Islamo-fascist movement is a worldwide octopus. In this country, they are represented by CAIR, the Islamic supremacist group, which is right now trying to drive Michael Savage off the radio because I'm the only one who is saying it like it is about who they are. Yet the tentacles of Islamic fascism run all the way back to the caves of Western Pakistan, where Osama bin Laden is alleged to be hiding. And the fact is that we cannot rule out that the Iranian Hitler is in some way not responsible for the problems in Pakistan. What I want to do for you right now is try to awaken you while the times, they are still a-changing. Many of you are confused and think there's no relationship between things. I want to read you what one of the great men of the last century wrote about Islam in 1899, and tell me if you agree or disagree with Winston Churchill. Here is Winston Churchill in 1899, and if you disagree with these statements, then I suggest that you boycott Great Britain. He wrote, "How dreadful are the curses which Mohammedanism lays on its votaries. Besides the fanatical frenzy, which is as dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog, there is this fearful fatalistic apathy. The effects are apparent in many countries. Improvident habits, slovenly systems of agriculture, sluggish methods of commerce, and insecurity of property exist wherever the followers of the prophet ruler live. A degraded sensualism deprived this life of its grace and refinement, the next of its dignity and sanctity. The fact that in Mohammedan law every woman must belong to some man as his absolute property, either as a child, a wife, or a concubine, must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be a great power among men." Again, I'm quoting from Winston Churchill, the man who helped defeat Adolf Hitler. He tried to warn the world in 1899 about this, what we're living with today. He went on. He wrote, "Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities, but the influence of the religion paralyzes the social generations, Quisling or Benedict Arnold." But let's move on. Again, without defense cells, a body dies. Without police, without military, a country dies. It disappears. Do you understand that, or don't you understand that? Now put in context the Democrat Party, which is trying to uncouple the military, although they don't say it, they are fundamentally an anti-military, not so much an anti-war party. I don't think you understand that. The Democrats are an anti-military party. They're not an anti-war party. They mean cut the troops down to a level where they can't even fight anymore. Barbara Boxer, for years, has been defunding the military. The Clintons, make no mistake about it, when they were ruling this country, almost destroyed the military by not providing spare parts for our airplanes and by purging the military of some of the bravest officers the nation had ever seen. Now, the Marines, do you assume that every Marine at Camp Pendleton is a combat Marine or not? Do you assume that the fat cat Marines sitting in Camp Pendleton who are going to judge these men and possibly hang them are all combat Marines? Make no mistake, they're not all combat Marines. Do you assume the information you're getting out of Camp Pendleton is accurate? They're lying to you. This comes to us from the North County Times, San Diego. It says, as of 12:30 p.m., there were an estimated 50 protesters outside the gates, a Marine spokesman said. Now, let's read what the people over there said. Here are answers. He said, at noon I counted, as in actually counting, 240 people. I don't know what is achieved by making demonstrable false statements, but it undermines the trust that people have that the Marine Corps can deal fairly in this matter, close quote. Okay? Next comment. Steve wrote on June 18th at 3:34 p.m. to that newspaper, why is it surprising that the liberal anti-war press would state false numbers? Our welcome back to the Savage Nation. Another technical glitch from the wonderful support that I have at my syndication company. I don't know what you heard of that and what you didn't hear of it. I have no idea what you heard. So I don't know where to go from it right now. I haven't any idea what you heard and you didn't hear. So why don't you give me a caller and let them tell me what went out on the air? I have an idea. Who cut that off? Who cut that off? I'd like to know who cut that off right now. Do I have to read the whole thing? And who cut that thing off on this show? Who killed what I just said on that show? I want to know who did it. I want a caller up here right now on the Savage Nation. Any caller. I'm going to take the first caller I have. Line two. Who is this? Hello, who is this? Nobody. See the kind of support Mike Savage gets? Nothing but the best at every turn. Line six, you're on the Savage Nation. Nobody.
I think the Republicans and George Bush are anti-military. You want to know why?
Oh, go ahead. Tell me why.
Thanks. Well, it's the same brush you paint the Democrats with. George Bush didn't give the you know the military the armor they needed. Doesn't that make him anti-military? My point in saying this is not that George Bush is anti-military. He's just a bad military leader. I really don't think Democrats, and I'm one of them, are anti-military. I think we're anti-war, or at least anti-this war. It doesn't mean we shouldn't fight the terrorists. We should, and we should do just a lot of things you say. Like,
really? Where would you fight the terrorists?
Well, I do more to protect my country, because that's really what
I see.
About.
So you'd wait till a dirty bomb went off in your backyard, then you'd pick up a gun and you'd fight for your wife and children. Is that it, sir?
You certainly want to get intelligence over there.
You want to get intelligence, uh-huh. What about Iran? Do you see them as a threat, or they're a peaceful Muslim nation?
I see them as a threat.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Now I'll go back and start all over again from the top. If I get disconnected one more time, I'm going off the air. If I get cut off one more time, if this show gets cut in any way, I'm going off the air. I will not come back on the air until I find out why that speech was cut. I am going to read to you on the Savage Nation, once again, something I started to read that was completely cut off by somebody, and I don't know where, but I'll find out where. I'm going to read you what Winston Churchill had to say about Islam in 1899. And if it doesn't go out on the air, I'm going off the air, and I will not come back on the air. How's that? Are you ready? Winston Churchill on Islam, written in 1899. How dreadful are the curses which Mohammedanism lays on its votaries. Besides the fanatical frenzy, which is as dangerous in a man as hydrophobia in a dog, there is this fearful fatalistic apathy. The effects are apparent in many countries. Improvident habits, slovenly systems of agriculture, sluggish methods of commerce, and insecurity of property exist wherever the followers of the prophet rule or live. A degraded sensualism deprives this life of its grace and refinement, the next of its dignity and sanctity. The fact that in Mohammedan law every woman must belong to some man as his absolute property, either as a child, a wife, or a concubine, must delay the final extinction of slavery until the faith of Islam has ceased to be a great power among men. Individual Muslims may show splendid qualities, but the influence of the religion paralyzes the social development of those who follow it. No stronger retrograde force exists in the world. Far from being moribund, Mohammedanism is a militant and proselytizing faith. It has already spread throughout Central Africa, raising fearless warriors at every step. And were it not that Christianity is sheltered in the strong arms of science, modern Europe might fall as fell the civilization of ancient Rome. So wrote Winston Churchill in 1899. Now, I want to remind you that radical Islam is at war with everything you believe in. All of you liberals must understand that they would like to cut your throat or force you to worship their vision of God. They would like to turn your daughter into a slave. They'd like to turn your wife into chattel. They would like to forbid women from driving. They would perform abhorrent surgery upon women. That is what radical Islam does wherever it has taken power, unless it is stopped. Now, you may say, well, that's over there, not over here. You are wrong. There are mosques in this country that are teaching the same retrograde throwback views as that you find in the deepest reaches of Pakistan. And they are fighting you on three fronts at once. They are fighting you on the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan. They are fighting you through the media in America, which they own lock, stock, and barrel. And they are fighting you through the courts, where they're using the ACLU and groups that hate conservatives to undermine the rule of law and the rule of liberty. They have front groups all over the world. Some believe that CAIR, an Islamic supremacist group, which is trying to drive Savage off the radio, is a front group for radical Islam. Now, I've put on michaelsavage.com an anti-CAIR website in defense of the Constitution. And I'm going to read it to you. And you'll listen to some liberals, what they said when they still knew what was going on and were willing to say it. U.S. Senator Richard Durbin, CAIR is unusual in its extreme rhetoric and its associations with groups that are suspect. That's a Democrat, Durbin. Charles Schumer, good liberal from New York, says, we know CAIR has ties to terrorism, intimate links with Hamas. Senator Boxer, good liberal from California, to praise CAIR because they haven't been indicted is like somebody saying, I'm not a crook. Now, these were said back in 2003. I don't know if they're still willing to say that. But the fact of the matter is, CAIR employees and its officials support terror. And if you doubt what I'm saying to you, go on to my website and look at the link to the anti-CAIR link that I have on there. And remember why I'm doing this. CAIR has attacked Michael Savage. They're sending letters to every one of my advertisers trying to drive this voice of freedom off the air. You have a choice, because tomorrow I'm going to read you the names of companies that have catered to this radical Islamic group and have dropped this show. And then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the names of the companies that have increased their advertising on the show because of the attacks of this front group for Osama bin Laden. I'll be right back. Savage. Make no mistake about it, your freedoms are being attacked on a daily basis by radical Islam and their front groups in this country. And you may say, well, you know what, I hate Savage. I hope that they can knock him off the air by killing his advertisers. Hey, they won't do it. But you don't understand what's happening here. Many of you liberals don't understand that when freedom of speech goes for one side of the aisle, it will go for both sides of the aisle. And you will lose your nation. And so instead of cheering the front groups for Osama bin Laden, such as CAIR, what you should be doing is fighting them with everything in you, because they stand for your death. They stand for the death of freedom. They stand for the death of your freedom. They stand for the freedom of women. They stand for the freedom of, against the freedom of religion. And you should understand who they are. The fact of the matter is, many of you don't. That's why I read to you what Winston Churchill had to say about Islam. He was very cognizant of Hitler. He helped unify the British people in their fight against Adolf Hitler and Nazism. And he warned the world in 1899 about radical Islam. Okay, there it is. Tim, San Diego, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I was just going to say that Churchill mentioned that it is not a moribund religion. I would submit that care is more like the Bund that you speak of when you talk about the Germans during
It's a joke. Instead of moribund, it's more like the Bund. That's very funny. Thanks. Now, the German-American Bund, you know what it was, Tim?
Indeed.
The word Bund means band. I believe it means band in German. And the German-American Bund was a functional front group of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party here in the United States in the 1930s. They called themselves the German-American Bund. What they were they were being funded by the Gestapo secretly, just as there are front groups for radical Islam being funded by radical Islamists and pretend to be American Islamic groups. It's the same thing, Tim.
Direct analogy.
It's the same thing, Tim. Thank you. San Diego, Jen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, we need you. You can't go off the air. I can't get along without you. You've been a savior for me and for everyone else that we need.
Well, here's what you're going to do then. If you really mean it, then you got to do something for me. What you got to do is support the people who support this show. I want everyone listening to this show to stop supporting the Marines. That's right. Stop supporting the Marines. Now you're going to support me. We sent hundreds of thousands of emails, and we stopped a Dubai ports deal. We almost lost that one. This audience stopped the amnesty for illegal aliens. We stopped it. I don't care who takes credit for it. Lou Dobbs is a latecomer. Good luck to him, but he's a latecomer. He copied me. I was doing this since 1994. Lou Dobbs is a little late to the party, but hey, the more the merrier. I need you to send emails today, thousands of emails to everyone who advertises on my show and tell them that you're going to go buy their product. How's that? And then I need you to send some emails to Charles Schumer, Barbara Boxer, and Senator Durbin and tell them to investigate CAIR. How's that? Does that work for you?
Yes.
Columbus, Ohio. Randy, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
I've been inside the care office in Columbus doing some work on some equipment, and I've seen the literature, the hate-filled literature, blood splattered all, you know, blaming the Jewish people for the whole situation in the Middle East. I heard him contriving the cover story for Ayman Ferrez when he got busted for the scope.
Well, CAIR is in cahoots with Media Matters, which is run by a radical homosexual named David Brock. David Brock is funded by Hillary Clinton. There's a linkage between Hillary Clinton, David Brock, and Media Matters, and CAIR. There's a link between radical Islam and Hillary Clinton in their attempts to destroy Savage. Michael Savage. It is the Savage Nation, and make no mistake about it, we are fighting a war for our survival. Many of you don't want to accept that. Many of you want to think it's all made up by the right wing, that it's all made up in order to steam up another war against somebody who's innocent. You're doing so because your head is in the sand and you're delusional. You are delusional if you think that radical Islam doesn't mean to come to your house and either convert you or kill you. You are delusional because you don't know history or you're using drugs. The fact of the matter is they are on the war path around the world, whether it be Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Central Africa, North Africa, wherever you look, the Philippines, Kashmir, everywhere you look on earth, there is a war between an Islamic nation that cannot get along with its neighbor, always screaming that they are oppressed one, always playing the victim, which is why they have secret sympathy from the Democrats and the liberals. The very same game of being aggressive while claiming to be the victim is the game that Hillary Clinton is playing right now. It's the game of the Democrat, which is to be the aggressor while claiming to be the victim. And that is why you never hear a word, never hear a word from the most liberal of members of Congress about the dangers of radical Islam. They would rather deny it than face it. They would rather make George Bush and the U.S. military the aggressor rather than the protector. Now, where this all ends is anyone's guess. We have never had a more corrupt Congress in history than we have now. Never has there been more corruption than there is now. I mean, let's be clear about it. Let's be clear about it. The Democrats lied to you liberals, and they said they'd be the most honest Congress in history. And the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending is none other than John Murtha of Pennsylvania, Democrat, who came to power by attacking the very Marines he claims to represent. He rose right up in Nancy Pelosi's constellation because he attacked the U.S. Marines. He made up the Haditha story. He was rewarded with hundreds of millions of dollars of earmarks, one spending bill after another. The next biggest pork barrel recipient is yet another Democrat. Go down the list, and you tell me that's not corruption? So who then do we turn to? There are Republicans in prison for having been corrupt, Duke Cunningham being one of them. But there are Democrats who are making far more money than he ever made. He just did it stupidly. They're smart enough to do it legally. He got caught because he did it in an idiotic manner. The fact of the matter is they're making more money than Duke Cunningham ever made. And so who is going to protect us right now? Who is going to protect us from radical Islam right now? Tell me who's going to do it. The war has become extremely unpopular, not because of the war per se, but because of the way George Bush has pursued it. I'll repeat that over and over again until you understand what I'm saying to you. It wasn't that he went into Iraq. It wasn't that he fought against Saddam and his sons and the Ba'ath Party. It was the fact that he then became the most incompetent commander-in-chief in the history of the United States government. Nobody in history has been able to, has done what George Bush has done. Nobody has messed up bigger than this with regard to being unable to suppress a bunch of ragtag tribalists in back alleys. And the reason is, well, the reasons are manifold. There's a combination of PC war strategy, wanting to keep it going as long as possible, to milk as much money out of the tax base. There are many reasons that he will not finish this thing up, many reasons, and you can choose whichever one you want. Now, you say, well, what do I care? How does it have any effect upon me? Well, it does. Take a look at the meltdown of the banks right now. Whether you know it or not, wars cost money. All wars cost money. Previous wars have almost bankrupted and have bankrupted other nations. Napoleon almost bankrupted France. In fact, he had to borrow money from the Rothschild Bank to continue his marches. Who are we going to turn to borrow money? Well, we've already turned to China. Who do you think owns our notes? Why do you think the banks are imploding like Chernobyl, like nuclear reactors? Because fundamentally, the debt that's been run up to run this war is finally coming home to roost. That's why. The long-term prognosis is not very good. I haven't any idea who could save us from all of this. I truly don't. WOR New York, Norman, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to set some things straight about the Jewish history and regarding after the Second Temple, the person in power.
Wait. Not everyone's interested in Jewish history. What does this have to do with what we're talking about?
Well, listen, this is what I called to talk about because you spoke about Pharisees and Sadducees a few weeks
ago. Another day we'll do Pharisees. I'm not doing that. 5 weeks ago, I talked about Pharisees. He's talking about Pharisees 5 weeks later. I guess he took the cliff notes from the Talmud. Los Angeles, Kelly, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Savage. I'd like to refer to you as a modern-day Socrates, and like Socrates woke up Athens' political system, you're waking up the political system of the USA, and we highly appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate that. However, they're trying to give me the hemlock.
Well, we'll just have to fight them back.
Well, I'm trying to tell you what you need to do, Kelly. What you need to do is support the advertisers I have on this show. I really would hope you're going to write an email to CAIR and to your congressman demanding an investigation of this radical Islamic group.
My pleasure.
Thank you. That's all you need to do. You send an email to your congressman demanding an investigation, a congressional open hearing on CAIR and their funding and what they're trying to do. They're on record saying they would like to see Islamic law pushed into America. Do you know that? Do you have any idea who they are? I guess you don't care. I mean, with enough pornography and entertainment, why you don't care about anything. With the media in the hands of a few madmen who bury it all, I will turn to the callers right now. I think that's what I'm going to do. Well, oh, did you see this one? Dennis Kucinich, who should be arrested for sedition, should have been arrested for sedition a long time ago, introduced articles of impeachment today against Vice President Dick Cheney, primarily because Dick Cheney dared say the truth about the Hitler of Iran. You'll not believe this. You're not going to believe what Cheney said. What Kucinich, who he himself should be in an orange jumpsuit. Listen to clip 30.
Resolved that Richard B. Cheney, Vice President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. Articles of impeachment.
All right, let's stop right here. I'm not going to listen to this lunatic. I believe Kucinich should be arrested by U.S. Marshals for taking the side of Iran. That's my opinion. That's exactly what I think. KNEW, San Francisco. Damien, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Mr. Savage? My name is Damien from Pittsburgh, California. I just wanted to let you know, man, you're the man. I don't really know too much about political stuff. I listen to your show on my lunch breaks when I have a chance to on my car radio, so I just try to hear everything you're saying. It feels like you're saying the truth, man. I think you should be president.
Okay. That's very nice of you. I appreciate the sentiments. I really do. There are other stories on the website. Besieged Musharraf plays for time. Any of you don't know who he is. You think he's Peter Sellers in an old Peter Sellers movie. He is not. Many of you don't know when this was triggered, this violence and the destabilization of Pakistan and who triggered it. If I had to tell you the whole history of Mrs. Bhutto, it would take me hours to do so. But it was the return of Mrs. Bhutto that triggered the current violence in Pakistan. She has tried and succeeded in destabilizing the government simply for her own power grab, her own attempt at power. Who is behind Mrs. Bhutto is the question. I have no answer to that one. Let us see what else we have for you. On MichaelSavage.com, this is a disgusting story. Kids are inhaling gas from feces and urine learned from immigrants from Africa. That's right. It's a cheap high that is said to create hallucinations. Kids are defecating and urinating in a bottle and then sealing it and putting a balloon on top of it. And when the gas is in the balloon, they remove the balloon and inhale it. They're inhaling sewer gas. They're fainting and then going into hallucinations. This was learned from some of the wonderful immigrants from the third world. Isn't immigration great? Whereas in past generations we received immigrants such as Einstein and Fermi, we're now receiving the flotsam and jetsam of the universe. The flotsam and jetsam of the universe is now swarming across America, bringing with them God knows what else, diseases, retrograde mentalities, throwback religions, you name it, they've got it. We've gone from Einstein to this. We've gone from Einstein to feces and urine in a bottle in one generation. WOR, Norm, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You're always on the money, Michael. You've mentioned something very important before that your listeners should really understand when you quoted Winston Churchill, that Islam is a fatalistic religion.
Hold on. What does fatalism mean? Explain it to the average guy out there without talking down to them.
Definitely. A fatalism is that you believe that everything is written, like in Lawrence of Arabia. Every time something happened, one of the characters said, well, it is written. Everything is written, which means...
So in other words, there's no free will. No free will. In other words, Allah directs the hands of all things.
I shoot somebody. I am the instrument of God. I am helping God because it was meant to be. That's their whole rationale. Now, how different is that than us that we believe in free will? We don't believe in murder. When would they kill somebody? Well, you know, God meant it to happen.
So in essence, the fanatics who are following radical Islam are slaves. They're slaves to their faith.
Exactly. But it's,
now, how does that compare with modern Christianity? It's the alpha and omega of belief systems. They are absolutely incompatible. There's no compatibility whatsoever.
It's an excuse to grab power. When you have a gun and you point it at somebody, well, if I kill you, I am the instrument of God. It's an excuse to do it. They have to know that it's not right, but they do it anyway because they want power, like in Gaza, like in Pakistan.
Well, Winston Churchill tried to warn the world in 1899. I guess today, if Winston Churchill were around, he'd be called various names by the front groups for Osama bin Laden, who function very well here in the United States of America. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. These articles and others can be found on MichaelSavage.com. WOR in New York. Jack, you're very pessimistic. Tell us how you see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jack. I really love you.
Jack, hold on, Jack. Your name is Jack. My name is Michael. You're on the radio.
Yes, hello. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm on a cell phone. All right. Here's the fact, okay? I don't know if you're going to say, how do you know and what do you think we should do? I mean, we've lost the war. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. Just accept it. Finish.
We've lost which war?
All the wars. War on terror, war on immigration, war on everything.
So you are totally pessimistic. You think America's over. It's only a matter of time.
Pessimistic and optimistic is, you know, you can use that in regards when there's no facts on the table. But here there's facts on the table.
Well, what do you mean we've lost? Where do you see we've lost? I stopped the immigration amnesty bill. What do you mean we lost? I changed the whole nature of the immigration discussion. A year ago, it wasn't even being discussed by the politicians, those lying, thieving SOBs. Now they're all talking about it. I'm the one who did it. What do you mean we've lost? We've just begun to fight. We haven't lost yet. Islam hasn't even seen our face. All I've seen are the sellouts like Kucinich. We haven't lost. They haven't seen us yet.
I hope you're right.
Well, I am right. They're lost. They're lost because they're following a death cult. That's why they lost. 1-800-449-8255, phone number. Houston, Texas. Alan, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. About 2 or 3 years ago, a friend of mine told me about an offer from an organization called CARE. I was not familiar with them at the time. Send in a postcard, you'll receive a copy of the Quran. Sure enough, about a year and a half later, I received about a 20-pound Quran in fine, glossy print. I thought at first that I might find some words inside it which a Christian might be able to accept, but after thumbing through just a few pages, I found that almost every page I turned to had some some slander against Christianity. I'm considering returning it. However, I have kept it to show it to a few people, to show Christian friends that that the Quran is indeed not a friendly doctrine toward Christianity. Wanted to get your
Opinion. You're in good company because the very same front group for Osama bin Laden, CAIR, sent Qurans to the legislature in Oklahoma. They try to convert the white boys of Oklahoma. They figured they'd break them over their knee of political correctness. They all returned them. They said they didn't want that book. They looked in it and saw the same things you did.
Okay, well, that convinces me that returning it is the right thing to do. I have shown it to some people, but I think the...
Yeah, well, what you should do is return it with postage paid by CAIR. You should save the original package and say, rejected, please return to sender, and they'll be billed for the postage.
I've had it in my possession long enough that really, truly, just to get it out of my house, I have no problem with paying the postage.
Well, that's your decision, but read it thoroughly. You'll find every other page has something evil to say about Jews and Christians, that if you see an infidel and he does not convert, cut his throat. You want me to read the sutra on that one, that they make believe isn't in there? Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. We're talking about, 77% of those polled oppose driver's licenses for illegal aliens. Isn't that shocking? Isn't it shocking that the one issue that Hillary Clinton and the Demon Cats thought would get them elected, the, hey, let's let everyone in Mexico move here movement of the Democrats, turned against them? It was not the vote getter they expected it to be. In fact, there's a good article on it in realclearpolitics.com, which I've linked up on michaelsavage.com. And the Democrats thought that the illegal alien issue would be the one to put them over the edge. Guess what? It did not turn out that way. In fact, the attempt to force illegal immigrants upon us by the millions through the amnesty bill that McCain and Kennedy cooked up behind closed doors has destroyed John McCain's presidential candidacy and will see him ushered out of the U.S. Senate. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Be Make no mistake about it, you've seen a sea change in the presidential campaign, which I paid very little attention to. The meltdown of Hillary's campaign is because she lied about driver's licenses for illegal aliens. When she got caught, she came out on the side of granting driver's licenses to illegal aliens. She went along with the illegal act of this guy Spitzer from New York. And yet 72% of New Yorkers, including liberals and Democrats, are against Spitzer's and now Hillary's plan. This is very bad news. This is very bad timing for Hillary Clinton. The fact of the matter is the country has changed on them. Illegal immigration has hit Hillary and Spitzer and the Democrat Party like a lightning bolt, and they are in a panic right now. They don't understand you because they have contempt for you, the average person. They don't live in your world. They don't have to press one for English. They don't go into emergency rooms and have to stand behind illegal aliens to get medical care. You do. I've been there. I've been in emergency rooms, and they look like third world hospitals where illegal aliens get better care than I do. The fact of the matter is, this show, Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, reversed the secretive Senate. When the McCain-Kennedy bill came out, it had been done in the dark of night with only a few senators trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the American people. It was amnesty for illegal aliens. The millions of emails you sent stopped that amnesty. The country is now awakened to the illegal alien threat. We are sick of this third world invasion of America. The people are fed up with the third world invasion of America. Not only do they not want amnesty, they want the illegal aliens deported. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we had a clear Republican running against amnesty, against illegal aliens, they could easily sweep the election on this issue alone. That is my opinion. And I am in the right, and that is because 43 states and 30 cities have enacted hard-hitting immigration-related laws this year, all because of you, the Savage Nation. Hillary has made the mistake of her life.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Apparently, we've been tortured by the liberal Democrats like Leahy about waterboarding, when in fact, there should be great cheers for waterboarding, because it was waterboarding that gave up a lot of information. Khalid Muhammad, for example, would not break. He was as hard as stone. He was simply chanting the Quran when interrogated until waterboarding was tried. And finally, the Senate, mainly Schumer, who first nominated McCasey, if that's how you pronounce his name, and I know a little bit about the man's history, we're going to have a great attorney general. Finally, the radical left in the form of Leahy of Vermont and the others have yielded to common sense within the Democrat Party. That's actually good news that we're going to get a good attorney general into the office. We're going to talk about the torture of the radical left in this country and the fact that they are torturing the Constitution by twisting it day and night. Kucinich, for example, the most shameful, confused, insane man in the history of the Congress, like the Mad Hatter introducing articles of impeachment today against Vice President Dick Cheney, because Dick Cheney was guilty of warning us about radical Iran. It's unbelievable to me, the world we're living in. I've never seen anything like this. And then out of the blue, there comes Teresa Hines Kerry. All of a sudden, she's back, and she's there talking about the environment. It's unbelievable to me. Listen to Theresa Carey again now, back from nowhere. I don't know where she came from. Pick any one of them.
John McCain and my John Kerry together twice introduced bills on CAFE standards, and they've been defeated, less so the last time. But you know what? It hurts our business. Forget the air.
Turn her off. Mad as a hatter. Still mad as a hatter. Then there was the case of a woman breaking down and crying in a House Environmental Committee on Global Warming, crying over the white bears, the polar bear. Listen to clip one.
We've been having decreasing in subsistence food, like our moose, our fishing, our just seals and whales, all the native foods that we eat off the land. The berry picking spots that we go every single year are not there anymore. The hunters are more in danger in the wintertime because they go out on the ice and a lot of them have fallen through.
Please. This is an Alaska Youth for Environmental Action breaking down while testifying on global warming. And she's talking about some ice melt in Alaska. And what this ignorant child doesn't know is that the pack ice in Antarctica, which is on the other side of the earth, which she probably never heard of, Antarctica, has the largest amount of pack ice in recorded history. Let's listen to clip two.
Just through my lifetime, I've seen so many changes in our community that it just hurts to not be able to have our... It's really scary to lose our tradition, our culture.
Let's stop right there. You lost tradition and culture a long time ago when you gave up the igloo and took the white man's tar paper shacks and spam, and most importantly, the government handouts. So stop with the malarkey here. This is a setup again by the liberal Democrats to make you listen to this nonsense. What do you mean you lost your tradition? What tradition are you talking about? You know, you haven't been Nanook of the North for a long time now. I mean, you know, it's harsh of me to say this. Many of you are, shocked. But the fact of the matter is, this is rubbish, pure rubbish. What tradition are you talking about? So there's a little warming now on the north part of the globe, and the berries didn't come this year. And who are you going to blame that on, George Bush? Why don't you just disinter Richard Nixon and Pinochet? Blame it on capitalism. Blame it on anybody. But don't blame it on the fact that weather is cyclical. And that we're going through global warming, yes, every 1,500 years. There's a cycle of global warming. We're in that cycle right now. Yes, there's unstoppable global warming every 1,500 years, and we're in it right now. And all the king's horses and all the king's men cannot stop global warming ever again. So you want to talk about that? I mean, it's sad to listen to what Congress is doing, bringing in emotional people like this who don't know the first thing about science, crying just to whip up public emotion over this thing. Let's see what we have. Pakistan is not a big story. It has no legs. The American people can't talk about Pakistan. They're scratching their head. They don't know where Waziristan is. They don't know what it is. They think it's a product. Waziristan sounds to them like a new product on the internet. Nor do they care. They truly don't care. They're used to it. They figure they all burn each other down there and kill each other. They let them do it. They don't care. That's, of course, the wrong thing to conclude. Because it's very dangerous right now what could go there, because the radical Islamists could wind up seizing Pakistan and they'd have nuclear weapons and then we're finished. We'd have to go to a nuclear war with them immediately. So it's real serious business, but you're saying, well, what can we do about it? Well, there is something you could do about it, which is not to all go to the knee-jerk liberal solution that George Bush has gone to, which is, well, we want democracy and an open vote, just like in the Gaza Strip, George. I mean, that's what democracy got you there. What is this? George Bush has become an out-of-the-closet liberal. He has moved across the line. He was always a straddler. And now he has walked across the line. So what are we going to do about it? Well, I guess all we can do is observe it. That's about all we can do. He's an out-of-the-closet liberal on virtually every issue. He is an out-of-the-closet liberal on virtually every issue. The last people to know that will be the talk radio audiences across America. Because they have bought the malarkey that the Bush administration is actually conservative. I'm sorry, they're not conservatives. So when it comes down to it, you know, what does it really matter? What matters to me is that Teddy's sick, my dog. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. The little guy is listless. He's laying around. I think he got a cold. Dogs can get colds. They're moody like people. He was always spunky. Now he like lays around. I have to pick him up and hold him in a blanket. His nose is dry. He's right next to me in the studio now wearing a green corduroy jacket to keep him warm. Well, the weather changed here. I know it's supposed to be global warming, but it got very cold here in Northern California. Our pack ice has apparently melted in San Francisco Bay, and it's delivering cold air. And so consequently, even though it's November and we expect cold air this time of year, it's definitely due to a global warming that it turned cold in November. I was watching the Weather Channel today. I started to laugh hysterically. They were getting hysterical that cold air was coming into Atlanta, Georgia, at the Weather Channel. I started to scream at the television set, "It's November, idiot. It's supposed to be cold. What are you getting excited over? What's wrong with these people? Everything to them is a panic." But Teddy will be better, I guarantee you. He's not eating. I mean, he's not dying or anything. He just got a little, you know, cold. That's all. Dogs get colds. And since I'm a caring man, I will care for the dog in the proper manner. I'll give him ice cream and he'll feel better. That's all. Toby, K-N-E-W, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Listen to your show often, and usually I agree with you, but today I'm not too happy with your take on the Nanook of the North bit. And just kind of in a nutshell, I just think it's ironic how you always talk about how the preservation of people's cultures, and here you are, here you have a shining example of someone whose culture is eroding, and...
What do you mean her culture is eroding? Because the blueberries didn't come in season, her culture is eroding? What does that have to do with me? Why is Congress listening to some child, a whimpering child from Alaska, about the fact that the berries didn't come in bloom? What do we have to do with that? I don't understand it. What does Congress have to do with blueberries?
Look, Dr. Savage, you hold the hammer. You're the man. I listen to you every day, but I just think you're being a little insensitive on this matter. And
I am very insensitive to stupidity. I do not suffer fools gladly, and I will not have my Congress try to bamboozle me with emotional speeches by an Alaskan teenager who's an ignoramus. What do you mean? So the berries didn't come into season. So the deer didn't eat the berries. The antelope didn't eat the berries. The bears didn't eat the deer. What can we do about that?
I don't know.
I have an idea. Let us all go to our refrigerators and get ice and put it into a cooler. And then let's all bring these coolers filled with ice to a collection station, as we did cans for Nicaragua after the earthquake. And then we could have a massive airlift of ice trays to Alaska, and we could just drop ice over Alaska. Will that help?
You say so.
Okay, well, you see, you're laughing. Thank you for the laugh. That's all. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. You know, the fact of the matter is Antarctica now has the largest amount of pack ice ever seen in recorded history. Antarctica, boys and girls, is on the other side of the globe. Remember the globe before the internet? The globe is a spherical item. Our planet is global. That's why they call it global. It's circular. It's not flat. Now, although there is an Arctic, there is also an Antarctic. That's in the south. You have to go south to Mexico, where our illegal aliens come from. And then you keep going south to where terrorism is being percolated by Hugo Chavez. You go all the way down South America to the tip of Tierra del Fuego. And then you keep going across the Straits of Magellan, if I remember correctly. It's a very bad place to go with a boat. And then you come to more ice, and that's called Antarctica. And Antarctica right now has more ice than ever in its history. But you can't tell that to Al Gore, because he only sees one side of the earth. That's the side that confirms his fantasy called man-induced global warming, so-called anthropogenic global warming. The fact of the matter is climate changes. There are cycles in climate. There have been little ice ages before and little heat ages before. Right now we're going through a little teeny heat burp on the planet's in the planet's history. And now we have people in politics and in government who are trying to use this burp in the history of climate change to aggrandize more power. I'll be right back. You know, a lot of the reason the average person is emotional about the hysteria and the lies of Al Gore and the global warming fanatics is because they're ignoramuses when it comes to basic science. In seventh grade science, what did you learn? Humans consume oxygen and we exhale carbon dioxide, right? And plants ingest carbon dioxide from which they manufacture with chlorophyll and sunlight. Basically starch, meaning the whole food supply, the entire food chain is built upon an adequate supply of carbon dioxide. So what I'm getting at is, although we're going through a slight uptick in temperature and a slight increase in carbon dioxide, the prognosis is actually better for humanity than worse. The exact opposite. If carbon dioxide levels were decreasing, plant life would decrease, and there'd be massive starvation on the globe. Now, how do they not understand this in Congress? For example, during the Cambrian period, that's 550 million years ago, CO2 levels were 18 times higher than they are today, right? During the Jurassic period, when dinosaurs roamed the Earth, carbon dioxide levels were as much as 9 times higher than today, and the Earth was covered with flora, tropical-like flora wherever you turn, because there was much higher carbon dioxide. So the fact of the matter is that increased carbon dioxide levels is actually beneficial to humanity, incidentally. But having said that, most carbon dioxide on the Earth is created by nature. 96.6% of all carbon dioxide is generated by nature, plants mainly, and by plankton in the ocean, and by animals that exhale. Humans contribute approximately 3.4% of annual CO2 levels. So this whole thing is nonsense. It's being exploited by socialists, both domestic and international, in an attempt to control your life from cradle to grave. And just as we prevailed on the illegal immigration issue, which I've been fighting for since 1994, we're going to prevail on the global warming. It's starting to happen already. In fact, I linked an article on michaelsavage.com that's a must-read for those of you who are open-minded. It's called Debunking Global Warming, and one of them is entitled Proliferation of Climate Skepticism in Europe. And the article says, climate skepticism has now gained a firm foothold in various European countries. In other words, people's natural curiosity and natural skepticism is finally clicking in on the big lie of global warming, so to speak. Eventually, when you discuss a topic long enough and enough facts get out, people will decide for themselves, you know, what's real here. But the problem is that Al Gore won't debate anyone on global warming. He refuses to debate scientists who disagree with him, you see. So there it is. Delaware, David, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I was wondering if someone could please ask the crying Inuit girl what her people did during the medieval warm period, or the medieval climate optimum, as it used to be called.
Well, I don't know, but she says in her tradition there were always berries and there was ice. Well, but, of course, she's a child who doesn't even know her own traditions or history.
Precisely.
I guess she thinks her traditions consisted of tar paper houses and spam.
I guess, but at some point her people made a move from places that were ice to places that had been ice during the medieval warm period. She doesn't know about that. She wasn't around.
Well, but right, and the Little Ice Age in the 1300s was probably a period that was very good for the people, the Inuit people, I would assume.
They moved closer to the water, I'm sure.
Sure, because the ice was firm. Now they could hunt and such. But the fact of the matter is the world is changing. I don't think this young girl should have spoken to Congress was my point. Why must we be subjected to the crying of a teenager who doesn't know the science of global climate? That's the issue. Instead of listening to a crying teenager from Alaska, I would rather have heard some scientists who have statements to make on both sides of the issue. I think that would have been more constructive, David. Thanks for the call. But what's more important to me is Teddy's nose and waterboarding. I'm going to talk about my dog's nose on one issue and waterboarding. It was a great article today by D. Roy Murdoch in the Wash Times called Hurrah for Waterboarding. And it's an amazing story of how waterboarding has helped us. How it's helped us. I only wish we could waterboard some of the Senate.
Savage.
This is going to impact my future, all of our futures, because we'd have to leave our homes, our tradition, or where our ancestors
taught us. All right, you got the picture. You got the picture. The Democrat-controlled Congress has become a nightmare. It's almost like the Oprah Winfrey Show. It's a combination of Jerry Springer and Oprah Winfrey. That would be Reed and Pelosi are the equivalent of Springer and Winfrey. It's unbelievable to me. Why bring in a crying girl from Alaska, an Inuit, to cry over melting ice? What are we going to do about it? You need are two scientists to show two sides of the issue. You have the Al Gore side and the other side. Present all the evidence and let the people decide. And then ask yourself what we can do about it anyway. I mean, sarcastically, I said maybe we should all be good liberals. Take ice out of our ice trays, put it in a cooler, and bring it to a local collection point, and then force the U.S. military to leave Afghanistan and Iraq and use all of our cargo planes to drop ice on Alaska to help fight global warming. It's crazy. Just mad, madness. The U.S. is devolving into this emotional wreck where they take crying children to talk about global warming without presenting any facts, just emotion. It's the same with the waterboarding. Again, emotion, no facts. Emotion, no facts. Now, let's talk about waterboarding. Many of you have heard about it. You know it was called torture by the torturous liberals. But let's look into it. And there was a great article on this today in the Washington Times by D. Roy Murdoch. And I want to go to the important points that he wrote today. And we'll start with KSM. Now, who is KSM? You never heard of KSM, Khalik Sheikh Mohammed. One of the scum of the earth, one of God's devils, was Khalik Sheikh Mohammed. Khalik Sheikh Mohammed was involved in the World Trade Center bombing. KSM, as intelligence agencies call him, directed the 9/11 2001 attacks on the United States, which killed 2,978 Americans and injured at least 7,356. He told Al Jazeera in April of 2002, I am the head of the Al-Qaeda Military Committee, and yes, we did it. Now, don't tell that to Dennis Kucinich. But Khalid Sheikh Mohammed wired money to his nephew, Ramzi Youssef, who masterminded the February 1993 World Trade Center blast that killed six and wounded 1,040. KSM and Youssef planned Operation Bojinka, a foiled 1995 attempt to explode 12 American jetliners above the Pacific. While some doubt his claim, KSM said, quote, I decapitated with my blessed right hand the head of the American Jew, Daniel Pearl, in the city of Karachi, Pakistan, close quote. After the United States and Pakistani authorities captured this piece of garbage in March of 2003, he would not talk. Interrogators could not crack him. He stayed mum for months. He often answered questions with Quranic chants. Eventually, interrogators waterboarded him for 90 seconds. One CIA veteran said, KSM didn't resist. He sang right away. Another CIA official told ABC, KSM lasted the longest under waterboarding, about a minute and a half. But once he broke, it never had to be used again. Now, this is the technique, waterboarding, that psychotic liberals like Leahy from Vermont want to ban as torture. But let's go into what KSM's revelations under waterboarding helped authorities do. KSM's revelations after being waterboarded helped lead to the arrest of at least six major terrorists. Who are they? Ohio trucker Lyman Farris pleaded guilty May 103 to providing material support to terrorists. He secured 2,000 sleeping bags for Al-Qaeda and delivered cash, cell phones, and airline tickets to its men. He conspired to derail a train near Washington, D.C. and used acetylene torches to sever the Brooklyn Bridge's cables, plunging it into the East River. You hear this? What these demonic Muslim fanatics are trying to do to your country, and you're sitting here protecting them, you slime, you stupid liberal idiots, you suicidal. Jamiah Islamiyah, Agent Run Risman Gungun Gunawan was convicted of transferring money to bomb Jakarta's Marriott Hotel, killing 12 and injuring 150. He was arrested as a result of Khalik Sheikh Mohammed's confession after waterboarding. Suspected Al-Qaeda agent Majid Khan provided money to JI terrorists and plotted to assassinate Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf, detonate U.S. gas stations, and poison American water reservoirs. He was arrested because Khalik Sheikh Mohammed talked, spilled his guts after being waterboarded. Jose Padilla, who trained with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, was convicted last August of providing material support to terrorists and conspiring to kidnap, maim, and murder people overseas. Padilla, suspected of but not charged with planning a radioactive dirty bomb attack, learned to incinerate residential high-rises by igniting apartments filled with natural gas. He was arrested as a result of Khalik Sheikh Mohammed being forced to talk because of waterboarding. There are others. The article goes on to say, imagine how many innocent people these six Islamo-fascists would have murdered had interrogators left Khalik Sheikh Mohammed unwaterboarded and his secrets unuttered. Though clearly uncomfortable, waterboarding loosens lips without causing permanent physical injuries. If terrorists suffer long-term nightmares about waterboarding, better that than more Americans crying themselves to sleep after their loved ones have been shredded by bombs or baked in skyscrapers. In short, there is nothing repugnant about waterboarding. It was written by D. Roy Murdoch with the Scripps Howard News Service, published today in the Washington Times, hurrah for waterboarding. Send it to Mr. Leahy and the other psychotic liberals who would lead us over the cliffs of self-suicide. KNEW, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, doctor, doctor, you are the real news. They're all asleep at the switch when it comes
doctor,
to you.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news.
Oh, Shrill's going to cure their ills. They got a bad case of the national blues because they weren't
in. I used to love that song. Who did that song? Doctor, doctor, give me the news. Was that Huey News and the... Was that Huey Newton and Huey?
I don't know if it was Jack.
I don't know. Huey Newton, I said. I mean, Huey Lewis and the Newtons? Or Huey Newton and the Losers? I think it was Huey Loser and the Newtons.
Teddy's nose, is it cold?
No, I looked at it because it's dry but not cold. So what does that tell me?
Well, I always heard from veterinarians that if an animal's nose was cold, in a cat or a dog or whatever, that was a leading indicator that things were cool and things were going to come right back. You know,
I think it's a result of global warming that Teddy's sick.
Heard he'd say
there's something going on here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Mark. You see, it got cold, as you know, since you live here. And I think it's a direct result of global warming, and because the weather changed so rapidly, Teddy got sick, and I would say global warming caused it. Maybe I should give a speech before Congress and break down in tears.
Hey, water freezes and then it thaws, huh?
Yeah, and that's shocking, isn't it?
You remember?
Do you know that winter is coming in the east and it's actually getting cold? The Weather Channel was shocked today to discover that the temperatures dropped along the northeast. They were stunned.
You're the Brettle of talk radio, dude. You know who he is, right?
The who?
Brettle.
Brettle? Who's Brettle?
Killer Instinct guy. Brettle. Dave Brettle. Michael Brettle. You know.
What is his sport?
Huh?
Is he a sportsman?
No, Brettle. Killer Instinct. The show you watch on the Nature Channel or whatever.
I honestly don't know Brettle. What it is, but I know it's a compliment, so thank you. Ha ha. Hey, could you get me that song, Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News? Who did that? Is it Huey Loser and the Newtons? Yeah, it's Huey Loser and the Newtons, I think, did that song. Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News. You know, there were some very good songs in the 80s, now that I'm looking back. I loved Hotel California. That was another one I liked. I think I once wrote a short story to it that I immediately burned. It was such a dreadful short story. I wrote it pre-radio in one of the bars in North Beach over a period of a few days. It was awful, just simply awful. But it was fun writing it. The beauty of writing is that you actually think that it's important while you're writing it and that you're going to change the world until you actually put it down and look at it a few days later. Fortunately, matches were invented a long time ago just for this purpose, and so was vodka. They worked very well together. The song is by Robert Palmer. What? What song? Bad Case of Loving You. Okay, Bakersfield 1, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Professor?
Yes, sir.
I was stationed in Fairbanks, Alaska, up at Fort Wainwright from 70 to 77. And a couple of winters there, we had polar bears roaming in down from the Arctic Circle following the food chain. And they were eating dogs, and they were eating farm animals because I guess they knew that global warming was coming back in the 70s. So, you know, they just pre-planned this.
Yeah, well, you got to remember that in the 70s, Newsweek's cover story was global cooling was going to kill all of us, remember? No, it was a front cover. We found it in the archives. Global cooling was coming, and it was going to kill us all with ice everywhere. I bought an extra pair of muckalucks and an overcoat, thinking we would all die of ice, that there'd be ice in San Francisco. I was kind of looking forward to it at the time, even though I wasn't living here because I don't like hot weather. But, Juan, you lived in Alaska, huh?
Yes, I was stationed there 7 years. And I worked on...
So what do you think about the little girl crying before the Democrat-controlled stage called Congress about her traditions being ruined by melting ice?
It was just a big put-on. Polar bears, like any animal, will come off the ice and then live on land and have their cubs close to the shoreline. They're not going to just up and disappear off the Arctic Circle up there. They're like any other animal. They're going to find a safe place, have their cubs, and a good feeding spot
what you're saying is if the ice continues to melt, they'll remove themselves from the ice, and they'll go on to the solid land.
And they'll find them like any bear up in Alaska, like grizzlies. They'll just sustain themselves. They're not going to just up and drown in that water just because there's no ice. They're going to survive. They know how to do
it. Yeah, they're pretty smart, and they're adaptable. Well, it's an interesting question of where the polar bear evolved from. No doubt they evolved from the Alaskan Kodiak bear. Probably, God knows how many eons ago, the Kodiak bear was competing for survival with each other, and a few of them went out onto the ice, and then they adapted over time and eventually grew a white coat and learned how to live on the ice because there was less competition. Wouldn't you assume that's how it happened?
Yeah, and do you figure, when I was there, I seen the Arctic fox, and the summertime there, they have a red coat, and the winter, they have a white coat. It's just like that, the bears are going to survive up there. There's no need.
Yeah, well, it's like the Democrats. They used to have red coats, now they have white coats. They're all painting themselves in environmentalism today. They were once coated with red, now they're coated with white. Now that global warming is their new communism. Thanks for the call. Do you have the song yet? Did we dig it up from the internet? Download it? Not yet. We have to get that. Still working on it. Boca Raton, Florida. Menachem, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're on the program. What's on your mind, sir?
I love you like I love my own father. I just wanted to tell you that.
You should. You should love me like your own father. I am like a radio father to millions.
Better believe it. So anyway, the essence of my call is regarding the seven universal laws, which I would like to disseminate over the radio quickly. And they are, believe in God, no idolatry, honor God, no blasphemy, do not murder, do not commit adultery or incest, do not steal, do not eat a part cut from a living creature, establish courts of justice. Those are the seven...
Wait a minute, that seems to go against everything that the Democrats stand for. They believe in adultery, they think it's a lifestyle choice. They lie by nature because they figure that's the only way to get people to listen to them is by inventing falsehoods. They don't believe in God. They believe in idolatry, which is worshiping a big government. So everything you just said is against the liberal protocols.
Yeah. Politics is a lower level of existence, Michael. There's a much higher divine purpose.
Tell me about it, but I'm dwelling in this world right now. It's very depressing, Menachem. Should I leave radio and become a spiritual man and just study the Bible for the rest of my life? I've been thinking about it, just disappearing altogether and devoting myself to studying the higher principles. Should I do that?
Not do that. You should stay in radio and use radio as a vessel to disseminate the truth.
It's not easy, my friend, when you have the enemies of truth and the enemies of God and the enemies of freedom gunning for you on a daily basis, Menachem. You understand that?
Michael, we've already won. The evil of the world is rising up because before its destruction, the holiness of evil rises high. It's only for the sake. God is only allowing doing this, Michael, so that when he destroys the evil, he will be glorified through his destruction. Had he not let evil rise up in its haughtiness, it wouldn't be very glorious when he destroys it. But the fact that he's going to allow evil to rise up and make it look like evil is going to succeed will be very glorious for him when he destroys evil.
Beautiful, Menachem. You're a true mystic. I agree with your analysis in a way. I believe that God does permit evil to rise. Otherwise, the people would not even understand what evil is. How would we know what evil is unless we saw the face of radical Islam and what it does to Muslims who will not follow their way? They kill their own fellow brethren who are not fanatic enough. And so the people have to look at it and gasp when they see such horrors that they commit upon each other. So that when we finally do destroy the radical Islamists, the people will cheer. I hear what you're saying.
They will cheer. And there is a Messiah, Michael. He's a Jewish Messiah, and he is coming very soon. And he will.
Well, now we have to stop right here. I'm not into messiahs. They just leave me out of it. Every religion has a Messiah, and then the other guy is just stuck with no Messiah. Thanks for the call. I'm not a Messianic guy. I'm sorry. I'm not into the Messianic thing here. I don't go for that. To me, the Messiah is within. The Messiah is within all of us. Go try to find that Messiah within yourself. See if you can massage it out of your soul. It's not easy. It's up. It's down. Portland, Oregon. Sherry, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
I wanted to talk to you about your dog, Teddy.
Yes.
I live in the Pacific Northwest, unfortunately. And we have dogs, and we were wondering if your dog might have salmon poisoning.
What poisoning?
Salmon.
Salmon poisoning?
Yeah. You get it from fish. The fish eat periwinkles. And even if they just lick the blood, they get sick, just like what you're describing your dog has.
Wait, you're saying that we don't get sick from the periwinkle, but the dogs do?
Yeah.
Because we have enzymes to detoxify the periwinkle in the flesh of the salmon, and they don't?
You know, I don't know. My dogs have...
I don't know. I didn't feed him salmon. I don't know. I'll have to look into it. Maybe there was salmon in some of his grub. I don't... Oh, my God. Maybe there's something there. Now that I think about it. I have a fish pond on a hill somewhere, and I feed it fish food. And occasionally, if the fish food falls down, which is ground up fish, Teddy likes to eat it once in a while, a piece. I don't know. It's interesting. I'll be right back. Savage Nation. We're in a battle right now. It's between free will and the tyranny of radical Islam. And it's only a matter of time until the liberals who believe that they're free come to understand who their enemy really is, that it's not the conservative, but it's the radical Islamist who they have embraced. They will do so, no doubt, when it's too late for them. But we've been trying to enlighten them as to the nature of the enemy. But they're so blinded by hatred for truth that they would rather attack those who stand for their freedom than those who stand for their slavery. And there's nothing we can do about it except to keep telling you what's really going on here. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com is the website. We're talking about waterboarding. We're talking about the myth of global warming and how the Democrats are trying to exploit emotional fears by bringing in crying teenagers from Alaska instead of scientists. It's a disgrace what they've done to the, you know, under Pelosi and Leahy and the others, what they're doing is turning the Senate into a bigger joke than it ever was. You know, you want to have a rational discussion about global warming and you want to disagree on it. I'm all for, you know, arguing over it. I'm a trained scientist. You don't bring in a crying girl from Alaska and try to sway arguments with that unless you're spreading propaganda, which is what the Democrats are doing, which is spreading propaganda. That's all they're doing. That wasn't a rational congressional hearing any more than the persecution of the nominee for the attorney generalship was. Again, you're for torture, you're for torture, you're for torture. Na, 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 na. I'm good, I'm not for torture. I'm not for torture, I'm Barbara Boxer, I'm not for torture. It's unbelievable to me. What kind of country is this? Answer, this kind of country. It's all we got, we love it. And we have survived scoundrels before. I think this country can survive the scoundrels today. That's all. There have been scoundrels before. We'll survive this pack of scoundrels, too.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation, the doctor is in, here to solve all of your problems, expert on everything except football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Military MAE standards for recruits just came out. Faced with higher recruiting goals, the Pentagon is quietly looking for ways to make it easier for people with minor criminal records to join the military, the Associated Pukes have learned. In its early stages, they're looking at the number of Army recruits needing waivers for bad behavior, such as trying drugs, stealing, carrying weapons on school grounds, and fighting. Hey, I think this is a great thing. These are just the people the Army needs. We want people who've carried weapons on school grounds. We want people who fight in school. Who do you want in the military? People who are in there just to get pregnant and go home with a pension? What are you talking about? In the past, don't you understand the Army was traditionally a place during peacetime that people who got in trouble? I mean, I'm laying it on the line here, except for the officer corps. By and large, people who went in were people who sometimes had a little trouble, and they straightened out in the military. You need tough people who have trouble when they're a kid to go into the Army. What are you talking about? How far can this political correctness go? What do you want? Who do you want in the military? People who are not going to get in trouble? You want people who've gotten into trouble, who have a little testosterone raging in their system. I have a friend who will remain unnamed. We're going way back to World War II. He's told me with pride that his father, who was one of the founding members of the OSS, who was dropped into behind enemy lines as a paratrooper in World War II, was given a choice in the 1930s by a judge in New York City of either join the military or go to jail because he was, let's say, that kind of kid. And he told his son that if I had not gone in the military, I would have been a gangster. He told him that. He would have joined one of the gangs in Little Italy. But instead, he went into the military, and he became a very distinguished military officer, as did his son. What in the world have we become here? Criminal behavior, big deal. Big, big deal. Petty crimes like this. And yet there are those who oppose this. They all want to take people in with flat feet, too, on top of it all. That I don't understand. I could see youthful indiscretions, minor fights, even theft. You know, give them a waiver and bring them in. I could understand that. And yet there are people who say, no, that's not a good idea also, because they're called problem children. In another instance cited by the Pentagon, two 14-year-olds had a fight at school. And police charged both with aggravated assault. One was charged with using a deadly weapon, a shoe. That person is now 18 and needs a waiver to join the service. You hear this? But, you know, some officers are not enthusiastic about relaxing the regulations. At Fort Sill, Oklahoma, Army officers said they already spent a lot of time dealing with discipline problems. A number of officers vigorously nodded their heads when asked if they were concerned. One officer told Admiral Mullen that when he was in Iraq, he would spend long hours into the night dealing with so-called problem children. You hear? Admiral Mullen, though, said he's not convinced that increasing waivers leads to more disciplinary issues, noting that it is not unusual for officers to have problem troops. So there it is. I mean, what can you say about this? I say it's a good thing to lower standards to a little bit. And, I mean, big deal, so the kid gets in trouble. What would be better than going into the Army learning discipline? Plus, he's probably going to be a little more daring than some of the others. 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game, from Teddy's nose to global warming, to radical Islam, to freedom versus slavery. You know, any of those topics are very good. Let's go to Las Vegas. Vern, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, it's certainly a pleasure to talk to you. I really am
Thank you.
A first-time caller on this, but this warming, this excuse me, this waterboarding stuff is pretty much got to stop. The United States government, we've been doing this to our own troops to weed out the bad guys or the sick guys or the slow guys for years.
Wait. You mean that they waterboard military people to what, to break them?
Yes, sir.
Officers or everyone?
Everyone, officers included.
You're kidding.
Back to the 1970s when the Vietnam War was still in, and this was in order to fly. I don't know if this happens with every pilot, but I know it does for the spy squadrons and the reconnaissance people. And yes, we all.
Oh, in other words, to see if they're double agents, they waterboarded them.
No, to see if they were going to crack.
Oh my God! If we could only use such a standard in Congress.
Well, this was
what if anyone had to go through waterboarding before becoming a congressman or a senator? My God, what a different country it would be.
We lost a lot of officers.
Yeah, well, we certainly wouldn't have the Congress we have today if they had to go through a waterboarding hazing, and if they had to swear that they were going to protect the Constitution. Right now, we have people who are anti-constitutional, anti-American, anti-family, anti-church, anti-military, anti-police. We could have weeded them out through waterboarding. We would have a better Congress. It would be a safer people. Next will be Audrey Hudson from the Washington Times to tell you about the TB carrier who crossed the border from Mexico. Mexico, Mexico, land of beauty where gardenias grow. 68 or 70 times this guy came across the border. Mexico, Mexico, where they all come here to work, the system. Audrey Hudson will be up next to tell you what happened to the guy in charge of the Border Patrol. I probably gave him a raise. He's probably been raised up to Interior Secretary, I would think. I doubt that he lost his pension. But I interviewed Audrey Hudson a little earlier about the TB carrier from Mexico, Mexico, land of beauty where gardenias grow, Mexico. And we'll find out what happened in a few minutes right here in the Savage Nation. You certainly won't read it tomorrow in the Gannett newspapers. You won't read it in the Old York Times. You won't read it in the La Times. You won't read it in any of the papers. You have to hear it on, well, the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Audrey Hudson writes for the Washington Times. You know her. Now, she's on the line to update us on the case under investigation by the Senate Homeland Security Committee, where a Mexican national flew across the border 76 times, infected with a drug-resistant form of TB. Hello, Ms. Hudson.
Michael, thank you for having me on the show.
Audrey, what's the latest development here? Who's retiring and why, and what's the significance?
The director of the field operations in El Paso on the border, where this Mexican national was able to cross for 76 times in the last year, has decided to retire. His name is Luis Garcia. In an interview yesterday with the Washington Times, he said that he had already planned his retirement and had nothing to do with this incident, which is now under investigation by the Senate Homeland Security Committee.
Did he mention his family in his decision to retire?
As a matter of fact, I believe he wants to spend more time with his family. He even said, and I quote, "My wife has frequently questioned the limited financial benefit of continuing to work, but I did so because of the love of my job and my commitment to public service." What Sarah Carter and I learned, Sarah is the reporter that initiated the investigation, is that the Customs and Border Patrol found out about this Mexican national who has a very severe form of tuberculosis, was allowed to cross the border about 76 times, since August of last year. They found out in April this year, but they didn't even alert the Transportation Security Administration until June for another 2 months that this guy was still traveling into the U.S., and so it was 2 months before they even put him on the no-fly list. They were also, it turns out, customs officials were briefing members of the Senate Homeland Security Committee back in June because, as you recall, there was the TB case with Andrew Speaker, who was from Canada, and he was traveling internationally with the same illness. So while Homeland Security officials were briefing the Senate committee on this guy, they neglected to tell him that there was another gentleman crossing from the southern border more times. And, you know, Mr. Speaker took a dozen flights. Well, this man has taken an untold number of domestic flights and crossed the border 76 times. Also, even when they found out in April that this guy was coming into the country, they were unable to stop him another 21 times.
Senator Lieberman has asked for an inquiry and explanation of the situation. What's the latest on that? Any movement there?
The Senate committee, led by Mr. Lieberman and Ms. Collins, has initiated their own inquiry into the matter because they weren't getting satisfactory answers from the Homeland Security Committee. Homeland Security, when our story originally broke a few weeks ago in the Washington Times, they claimed that they could not stop this man from crossing the border because he was using an alias. Well, as it turned out, he was not using an alias. He was using three of his four names. He dropped the first name. He used his middle name, his paternal name, and his maternal name. And then they claimed that they had the wrong date of birth. Well, that was only for about 24 hours. So the committee was not satisfied with the answers that they were getting, nor were they satisfied that they weren't originally told of this when they were being briefed on another exact similar case. So they have launched their own inquiry. They've sent letters to Chertoff. They've sent letters to Secretary Leavitt over at Health and Human Services demanding answers.
Mr. Garcia, who was in charge of the El Paso sector, how was he involved in the months leading up to the public release of this story?
Well, Mr. Garcia was in charge. He is the man in charge of the border, so everything falls under him. One of the things that we also reported, which is not directly related to him, but a manager under him, our sources told us, threatened them that if this story ever leaked out, that they would all be fired. That's another matter that the Senate committee is investigating as well, because that's just plain illegal. You can't tell federal employees that they can't talk to anybody, because that insinuates that you're telling them they can't talk to Congress, and that's unconstitutional. This isn't the first time we've written about Mr. Garcia. Sarah Carter also wrote a few weeks before this that, according Mr. Garcia, when we interviewed him, chalked that up to detractors within his department who did not always agree with his leadership. Sarah Carter had also obtained documents that showed officers in El Paso were told not to deny permits of entry to any person entering the U.S., whether or not they'd overstayed their visas or not.
Will this all go away in a matter of months, or will it be some serious repercussions, some change in policy even?
Well, I think the first change is with the retirement of Mr. Garcia. I think we're going to see other changes as well as this unfolds in the Senate investigation. I think the most substantial debate that we're going to see in the coming months is of the policy itself when dealing with patients of this kind of tuberculosis. Right now, the policy is by the CDC that they don't inform passengers if they've been on a flight with anyone with this disease unless they've been on a domestic flight longer than 8 hours. And you know, and I know, I can get on a plane right now in D.C. and be in L.A. in 5.5 hours. So basically what the U.S. policy is, if you get on an airplane and there's someone on the plane with this form of tuberculosis, you're not going to be informed of it because you're never going to be on an 8-hour total domestic flight. And so I think there's going to be a debate in the medical profession as to what kind of procedures need to be in place when passengers should be alerted that they might be a patient.
Is there any chance that comprehensive reforms are going to be made? I mean, one TB-infected person is gone and one infected Border Patrol agent is gone. Does that mean that the mentality in other sectors are going to change as well?
Well, I think the other debate in Congress will be about how screening at the border is going to be conducted in the future. I mean, these officials are claiming that even with three of the man's four names, that they could not stop him or spot him at the border. So I think there's going to be a strong look at the technology they're using, whether or not, you know, the guy wasn't even using an alias. He was using his real name, and they still couldn't stop him. So I think there's going to be a close look at the technology on the border, as well as some of the policies on how they're going to treat people with this disease in the future, and how other people who come and contact them, you know, what, how are they going to be notified?
Look, we know right now that Mexican trucks are rolling across the border. Is there anything being done to address these individuals specifically? Who's on these trucks? Who's hiding on these trucks? Is there any kind of facilitated inspection process being implemented? Are we moving towards or away from progress with regard to security?
It seems the whole policy in place right now is one based on the honor system, that they're not going to tell you if they have a disease. I mean, in this case, the man knowingly traveled back and forth. His father and his sister had died of the disease he was carrying. He knew he was highly infected, and he wasn't stopped until his own Mexican doctor pulled his visa and turned it over to the officials and said, you've got to stop this man from traveling. So right now it seems to be the honor system as to the health of the people who are coming across the border legally, whether it be by car or whether it be moving in trucks hauling goods across the country.
Is a don't ask, don't tell policy enough to protect us from the next pandemic?
You're assuming they're asking to begin with. I don't think they're even asking.
What will it take before we get comprehensive protection?
Well, all you have to do is look at what's going on down south right now. There's a chicken plant where over 200 employees, most of them foreign workers, have been tested positive for tuberculosis, for this form. They haven't shown up sick, but they've shown positive signs of it. And it's going to take a pandemic before anything's really done about it. I just don't think our government has the gumption to stand up at the border, not just the borders, but, you know, flying into this country and doing really effectual health screening.
Chertoff, of course, has the power to change these things. The question is, will he or won't he?
I'm not that clairvoyant. We need two things right up front. We need to have a more accurate system of identification of people coming across the border. So if you have four names, it will, and you're using three of them, it will catch three of them. That's number one. Number two, there has to be a change in policy on how we treat those persons that have this form of TB. What kind of checks and balances we need when we come across a person like this? Are we going to inform the TSA to put them on the no-fly list or not? Are we going to inform passengers that they could have come in contact with this person or not? Are we going to guarantee that those border officials who've come in contact with this person already, are they going to get the health screening and care that they need? But this is very, very unique. I've never seen a case like this before.
Well, thank you, Audrey.
Michael, thanks so much for having me on again.
Savage.
Yesterday, we talked about Defense Secretary Gates going to China. Now, we're concerned he may be jeopardizing the autonomy of American armed forces. We've asked Jed Babin to answer some questions for us. Mr. Babin worked for Ronald Reagan in the Defense Department.
Hey, Mike. Great to be back with you.
In your opinion, are the relationships that are developing between the American military and the Chinese military a little too cozy, given that we know their tendency towards conquest and domination?
Well, I'm not entirely sure. The problems that I have are not necessarily related to how close we're getting to them that way. I think our guys are smart enough to keep their guard up. And, you know, quite frankly, in a lot of ways, the programs we had, even with the Soviets during the Cold War, helped keep the lid on in some ways. It's much better for military people to know each other, not necessarily trust each other. And at this point, I'm not sure that there's a problem there.
What is your concern with China growing economically and militarily? What does Gates need to be most wary of during his time in China?
Well, I think two things. Number one, China's influence in the Middle East is profound, and I don't think we're doing enough really to counter it. The Chinese, of course, are allied pretty solidly with the Iranians and the Syrians, and I don't know that we are putting any sort of pressure on them that might actually get them to back down a little bit. Second point is China is the source of most of the cyber warfare that is directed at the United States right now. And I don't believe that we are up to speed entirely on what's going on. Most of that is a very high classification level, and I'm not privy to it. But from what I'm hearing, just for example, our military and intelligence and industrial networks are attacked roughly 100 times a day by the Chinese trying to penetrate them. So we have to watch that very carefully, and I think, quite frankly, we also have to be guarded against giving too many things away in any of these conversations. I mean, for example, I was very troubled, not respect to China necessarily, but Mr. Gates seemed to be opposing the president a couple of weeks ago in terms of putting anti-ballistic missile systems in Eastern Europe. So I don't think we want to be compromising on those things, and you know, if we can avoid that, I'm certainly not in the position where I would oppose this sort of contact.
Given the technological attacks, what's your opinion of the 3COM deal? Is this something that will come up during discussions between Gates and China, or is that going to be handled entirely through civilian processes?
Well, I think it's a disaster. We have a column up today on Human Events by Representative Thaddeus McCotter, which shows how dangerous this sort of thing is. I think the CFIUS, the Committee of Foreign Investment in the United States, needs to take a very hard look at that, and I'm not really familiar with what Secretary Gates has said about that, but I would think he would be at the forefront of fighting against this.
Well, how is China viewing the current affairs in Pakistan? Will they attempt to take advantage of the situation? They surely don't want a nuclear-armed Islamic Pakistan.
Well, it's not entirely clear at this point. There's not a lot that much of anybody can do from the outside to influence that, except for people like Iran. I think the Chinese, like us, pretty much have to sit back and wait and see what happens. I think they would love to see the area destabilized a bit because, after all, one of the nations on their periphery, India, is standing in their way in terms of expanding down into Southeast Asia and Far Asia. So they want India to be preoccupied with Pakistan. I don't think they want to see it degenerate into quite literally a nuclear war, which is possible in that area.
Does it seem likely that we're going to abandon Taiwan at any point in the next generation and throw them to the Red Brigades?
I think that the Taiwanese will pretty much abandon us. And I think it's not going to be taking that long. You know, you and I have talked about that before. We have said that the Taiwanese have not invested in their own defense, and it's not entirely clear to me why we should be defending somebody who is not willing to defend themselves. So the Taiwanese have been not quite pacifists. You know, they're still fiercely independent in some ways, but their governments of late have not been willing to invest in their own defense and have been cutting back their own military capabilities. So I think Taiwan, if it goes, will go with a whimper, not a bang.
What kind of disadvantage are we going to face in regard to China if the Law of the Sea Treaty passes?
Well, I don't know that that would be immediately a disadvantage, but over time, and it would not take a lot of time, number one, these courts, the court that would be established on that treaty, would seek to regulate the American economy. Air pollution, of course, some of it falls in the ocean, under the UNCLOS, the Lost Treaty, UN Convention on Law of the Sea. Basically, they have the right to regulate pollution that goes into the ocean. So that would be an attack on us. I don't think the Chinese would pay a darn bit of attention to anything that was said about that. I think also the question of passage within parts of what are now international waters would fall under the control of some of these tribunals, and I think that that would, again, put a disadvantage on our Navy rather than the Chinese. I mean, we just have to understand, we have to look at the way these regimes behave in return for some of these international treaties, and they just simply violate them entirely without any compunction. We, on the other hand, when we sign something, we take it seriously and we actually follow it, and that could be a huge, huge problem for us.
In your opinion, where are we most vulnerable to Red China? What should our number one Chinese concern be?
Well, I think right now espionage and cyber attacks are the principal disadvantage that we have. The Chinese have the most aggressive and active espionage program against the United States, and as we started talking about a little while ago, their cyber war capability is enormous. We are taking a lot of measures to protect ourselves from the cyber attacks. I don't know what degree they are being effective, but I do have some reason to think that they are being quite effective, at least at this point, our defenses, that is. I think the vulnerability to espionage is going to be there for a very long time, and I'm not sure that we're doing everything we could with respect to that in terms of regulating Chinese businessmen and Chinese diplomats who come to this country.
Is the government really doing an adequate job of informing the public about the dangers we could face from a Chinese military?
Oh, not at all. You know, quite frankly, the government is taking the line that business has taken, and I've got this argument with my good buddy Larry Kudlow. We argue about this about every other week. China is not a free market economy. They are not capitalists. They are a totalitarian regime. And I think we need to be more aware of that. I mean, to say all of that does not mean that we necessarily will be at war with China anytime soon or even ever. But the realization that we are not dealing with a free country that has equal goals and the same sorts of goals that we do, we just have to educate ourselves and then educate the public with respect to that. So, you know, quite frankly, we can keep our guard up. We don't have to cut off trade with Taiwan, with China, rather. I don't think we should. I don't think we should be taking a highly protectionist attitude either. But I think we have to be aware of what these people are, and they are not like us in terms of freedom and in terms of free economy.
Who's a bigger threat, the Islamo-fascists or the Chinese Communist People's Liberation Army?
Well, ask me when. Right now, the greater danger, of course, is from Islamo-fascism and the terrorism it breeds, and the nations that sponsor the terrorism. Over a longer time, you know, if, for example, we are successful in the war against the terrorist nations, which is by no means certain, but if we are successful, the next big challenge is going to be China. If you look at the history of the world, and you can go back to ancient Rome, no nation has emerged as a superpower except on a tide of war. If we can manage China's emergence as a superpower without getting into a war, which is obviously our intent, or which we should have as our intent, we will have accomplished something that's never happened before.
Thank you, Mr. Babin.
Michael, I really enjoyed the conversation. Let's do it again soon.
Is the Savage Nation. The big story today really is the one I'm going to give you now. I started it a while ago. The madman, Denis Kucinich, he is a certifiable lunatic. He's a certifiable enemy of the American people, has today called for the impeachment of Dick Cheney, who he called subversive. Now, luckily, the Republicans have finally learned how to fight again. They're forcing the Democrats to debate the resolution of impeachment. A Democrat by the name of Alcy Hastings, he's a liberal Democrat from Florida, said today that Denis Kucinich is on a quest of his own. He sees flying saucers and he acts like one too. Listen to what this lunatic, this anti-American maniac, this dumpster diver Kucinich says in 33.
In all of this, Vice President Richard B. Cheney has acted contrary to his trust as vice president and subversive of constitutional government to the prejudice of the cause of law and justice and the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Vice President Richard B. Cheney, by such conduct, is guilty of an impeachable offense warranting removal from office.
Well, I think that Congressman Denis Kucinich is guilty of an offense to the intelligence of the average American warranting removal to the nearest mental institution. I don't think either of the above are going to happen. But what's interesting is that the world is changing politically and the public is changing politically. Let me give an example. The Democrats thought that by embracing illegal aliens, it was going to, you know, give them great popularity. It's boomeranged on them. In fact, they thought that the, hey, let's get everyone in from Mexico, move here, would elect Democrats. It's backfiring on them. 72% of Americans oppose illegal immigration, if not higher. In New York State, 70-some-odd percent of the people oppose. Spitzer is spitting on the Constitution of the state of New York. Hillary's campaign is in free fall because she's embraced illegal aliens. But wait, on the issue of Islamic fundamentalism, even the certifiable liberal Bono, has come out and said in a new Rolling Stone interview that Islamic aggression is real and grave threat and the media is silent. It's an amazing story, and I linked it up on michaelsavage.com. It's very important that you read this because the days of groups like CAIR are numbered. It's only a matter of time until the U.S. government steps in and protects men like me and writers around America who know that CAIR is only one of many arms of the octopus of radical Islam. And so when you see that even Bono, a certifiable left-winger, an absolute left-wing guy, comes out and says he understands the threat posed by Islamic fundamentalists such as Al-Qaeda, and he calls it evil by its own name, in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, here's what Bono said of the Islamic fundamentalists. He said, "I want to be very, very clear, however, I understand and agree with the analysis of the problem. There is an imminent threat. It manifested itself on 9/11. It's real and grave. It is as serious a threat as Stalinism and National Socialism were. Let's not pretend it isn't." Well, welcome to the club, Bono. I realize that you're late in coming, but welcome aboard. So he didn't engage in the standard knee-jerk liberalism, and the Rolling Stone reporter tried to trick him up and blame it on Bush, saying Bush is bad. But Bono, despite his liberalism, would not buy it. And he went back to his fundamental understanding that radical Islam is as bad, if not worse, than Stalinism or Nazism. It is only a matter of time until the knee-jerk liberals in the American media stand up and take a stand against radical Islam and recognize that in America we have the equivalent of the German-American Bunds of the 1930s, which were front groups for Adolf Hitler. In this country, we have front groups for Al-Qaeda. In my opinion, they are represented no better than that of the CAIR group, which is on a warpath against Michael Savage, attacking me by attacking my advertisers. Now, I want to say to you that they will never drive me out of the radio business. Never. Not in a million years, because I am truthful, I am right, and I am an American patriot. They are the opposite. They're liars. They are front groups for Osama bin Laden. And they will eventually be found out. My guess is that within your lifetime, the leaders of CAR will be let out in orange jumpsuits. But right now, they've sent letters to my advertisers. Good people such as Swiss America have gotten very angry, and they're actually increasing the amount of money they're going to spend on this show. And thank you for supporting them all these years. I wish I could say that about all my advertisers. Some of them are cowardly and have buckled. And I will report to you tomorrow which ones you should not frequent, no matter where you hear them advertise. They have joined forces with Osama bin Laden by catering to the Nazis of our age in CAIR. And at the end of the day, you're going to determine whether I stay in the radio or not. And you're going to do it by buying the products that are advertised on this show and by emailing your congressman demanding a federal investigation, a congressional investigation now of CAIR. Not on global warming, not on polar bears, not on berries in the Arctic. But you want an investigation of CAIR and their leadership and where they get their money from. Now, on michaelsavage.com, there's an anti-CAR website. The Council on American-Islamic Relations, so-called, they say is a terrorist-supporting front group that is partially funded by terrorists and that CAIR wants nothing more than the implementation of Sharia law in America. They also go on to say that CAIR has proven links to and was founded by Islamic terrorists. And yet, some of my advertisers have taken their lies and dropped this show. Tomorrow, I will give you the names of the organizations that you should not buy anything from anymore because they have gone over to the enemy side. I will also give you the names of the groups that have not buckled to the pressure of these questionable people in CAIR. I am looking forward to the day that these Islamic supremacist throwbacks are taken out in orange jumpsuits once it's been seen for who they are. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. CAR's director, for example, of community relations, Bassem Kafagi, was arrested by the United States due to his ties with a terror financing front group. Kafagi pled guilty to charges of visa and bank fraud and agreed to be deported to Egypt. And yet CAIR still writes letters against Michael Savage. And by the way, against anyone in the radio, television, or newspaper business who dares talk about him. I'm not going to tell you who. But reporters who reported on the fake flying imam story were pressured. They had to get bodyguards because of this group of Islamic thugs. If this keeps up, I'm going to demand FBI protection because CAIR is painting a target on my back. That's right. You heard me. They are trying to get me killed. They're trying to take away my millstone, and then they're trying to paint a target on my back. That's illegal in America. I don't live in Crapistan. I don't live in Crapistan. And so tomorrow you're going to find out which advertisers catered and caved in to this front group for Osama bin Laden right here on the Savage Nation. All I can tell you is that even Bono, and when a guy like Bono, a certifiable left-wing nut, comes out and says that he knows that radical Islamism is a real and grave threat and that the media should not be silent, just as the tide is now turning in our favor against illegal aliens because of your hard work, I can assure you that in a few short months, the radical Islamists in CAR and other front groups will soon be seen for what they are, and you will triumph. You will triumph. And I don't want any more hearings in Congress about global warming. That is of no concern of mine whatsoever. Yes, there's unstoppable global warming, and it occurs every 1,500 years. We're just in another natural cycle. Am I against pollution? Sure, I'm against communism, and I'm against pollution. Who isn't? Don't give me the litmus test. I've done more for protecting the environment than most of the phony liberals, like Barbara Boxer. I've protected rainforests. I don't have to give you my bona fides. They've done nothing but lie about it. The time is coming on this radical Islamic presence here in the United States of America. And groups like CAIR that are painting targets on Michael Savage, wanting me destroyed economically and killed by telling people that I'm a bad guy, and they know that there are nuts in their movement who are just liable to come after me, they are the ones who are going to wind up in an orange jumpsuit as sure as I'm sitting here. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen with your help. And you're not going to send any hate mail to them. You're not going to send any threatening mail to them. You're going to send an email to your congressman or senator, just as you did on the amnesty bill of Kennedy and McCain. I want your emails now. It's good enough that you give me the prayer and the candles. That's not good enough. I want your emails now. I want tens of thousands of them out tomorrow. And it's going to say very simply, we want you to investigate CAIR as an Islamic front group. We want CAIR investigated by the U.S. government. I want that tomorrow. I want you to send it to your congressman or senator. This is the Savage Nation. Stand up and fight. You're fighting for your life.
Savage.